Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This is a Hat-Trick podcast.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
Whilst the TV show deals with the big news items, we'll be taking you through the smaller and sillier stories in the news this week.
Think of it like this. If the main show is the political party conference season, then we're a primary school council meeting. Who was on their primary school council?
He's putting his hand up. Interesting.
Do we know what that is?
I'm guessing it's a council at a primary school, but I could be wrong.
It was a way to indoctrinate young children into a loving government, basically, rules and regulations.
The Labour Party.
I think now they do it for, like, when you have teachers, they'll have the school council, like, interview incoming teachers.
No. So it's
like, yeah.
But why?
I guess it's
surely
like...
they didn't get a say.
I guess it's just, like, to make them feel like they're involved, but obviously they have absolutely no say whatsoever.
So just, like, the current cabinet.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Good to be back.
Great to see you.
So we're back for another series, but this time we're running alongside the TV show. So we're making a slight tweak to the structure to let Ian and Paul have round one. They can deal with the actual news, giving us more time to focus on the stories that really matter, like our favourites from last series, an eight-year-old addicted to jacket potatoes, Mordor or Mordor. What a game, where we peaked, if I'm honest. And everyone's favourite pet euthanising Danish attraction, Aalborg Zoo. Mike's not with us this week because he's working on the show, so anyone who wants to get the word Delulu out as much as it possibly can, then go for it. But he will be joining us throughout the series at various points.
Don't panic.
So we're going to kick off with round two, as we always will this series, each bringing a story from the past week that we think would work best for round two of the TV show. So Emerald, what have you got for us this week?
I have an odd one out for us.
Yes.
I thought this week I'd go quantity and maybe not quality. So let's see if this works.
Our usual approach is good.
Yes. Okay, so your four options are... three Austrian nuns, a group of Russian bears, Baron Trump, and Nick Torrades, a Canadian man in the UK.
They're the new 12 Days of Christmas.
That's great.
What?
One of those is the odd one out.
What? Where are those nuns from?
Austria. Does that help you?
Is that Sound of Music?
Are they all linked to... a production of Sound of Music?
Oh, I hope not.
They've tried to restage Sound of Music with some bears.
Baron Trump's playing Christopher Plummer's character.
Right.
No, I think we know which character the Trumps would be playing in the Sound of Music.
Yes.
I actually never watched Sound of Music. I've just seen the opening about 12 times, at which point I turn it over. Thank you.
You missed the song where they spend about 10 minutes saying goodnight.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. That's great. What are you trying to convince me to watch it, Emerald?
<Don't know.
laughs> Oh, yes, I want to see those precocious little children saying goodnight to me. Yeah, fantastic. Okay, back to the odd one out.
Yes.
So the nuns, the bears.
Baron Trump. And Nick Torrades, a Canadian man in the UK.
I know that Baron Trump, someone was complaining that on Fox News they were talking about him dating or saying that he was like a ladies man.
Mm.
So is it something to do with nuns wouldn't have gone on a date? I'd hope not. Let's say the Canadian
what
guy
have you got against
in,
nuns, Jack?
Yeah, they're dating
they
Jesus.
They obviously can't date. They literally have given themselves to the Lord, guys. Come on. So the nuns can't date. The Canadian guy in London has come for a date.
The bears are all dating each other. They're a polycule.
And yeah, the bears are married.
Oh.
In some kind of ceremony that probably should be made illegal. Can you give us a clue with one of the memorials?
Mm. Okay.
This is one of the hardest bits of the show to do sometimes.
Mm.
At the top of the script for an odd one out, there's always just a little thing which says clue.
Ah.
So we always have to think about, okay, what is the thing that gives them enough but not reveal too much?
Yeah.
And it's always one that we spend at least 3 or 4 minutes having to think about, which is a lot more time than we
think about the rest of the script.
Yeah, right.
It is hard being on the spot.
Have we said anything that's close at all yet?
Do you know what? You're on the right tracks with Baron Tramp, him being a ladies' man. He did something as a result of him being a ladies' man.
That really sounds bad, given his dad's track record. he did something. Oh, yes, I heard about this. He brought a girl back.
Mm. He brought a girl back and they knew that.
Yes, and they talked about it. They were like, he cleared out the whole floor, my man. It was really weird.
So what, he shut down a restaurant or something for a date?
He shut down a floor of Trump Tower, I think.
Yeah, he shut down an entire floor.
Ooh, okay.
The nuns... If they are the nuns from Sound of Music, they lock the nunnery up.
Why are you obsessed with them being... I don't think they are the nuns from Sound.
I feel like I should tell you.
Go on, let's go for it.
Because I don't think you're going to get it. Okay, the answer is they have all recently broken into somewhere without permission, apart from Baron Trump, who took over a floor of Trump Tower for a date, presumably with the permission of his father.
Maybe
the first time his father... has encouraged someone to take over a building and it's not been legal.
Nice.
Very good.
They've all broken into somewhere. So the three Austrian nuns, Sister Rita, Sister Regina and Sister Bernadette, they're all in their 80s. They broke out of their retirement home and they broke into the former convent that they'd been forced to move out of.
Oh, no.
So it's basically like the Shawshank Redemption.
God, that's cool. That's
heavy
awesome.
On redemption.
What were they trying to... Where they were just trying to get the nunnery back or whatever?
The community of nuns had been dissolved.
Right.
But they were allowed to live there until, like, as long as their health allowed.
Mm.
And they'd been chucked out.
That's really cool.
Yeah, they broke back in with the help of former students and a locksmith.
Former students?
Yeah, they used to teach.
I think the locksmith was probably more helpful.
Yes.
I can't believe we thought it was the nuns from The Sound of Music the whole time.
I know, you were so obsessed with that.
Quinn, like... don't drag me into this. Just because I haven't heard the story doesn't mean I have to automatically assume that they're the
nuns. You have free will.
Okay,
for
fair
now.
Enough, it's true. Okay, so they were like, that was where I used to pray. And that's where I used to sleep.
Yeah, and they now have an Instagram where they're showing pictures of themselves enjoying life around the nunnery, using the chairlift, taking photos of a sunset, running 5 kilometres every morning after praying in the chapel.
Oh, wow.
But they still need a chairlift. Hmm.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite add up here.
And the bears?
The bears. Okay, the Russian bears. This is not a story about an edgy nightclub in Berlin. The thing that they have broken into is a Soviet-era research station. They're polar bears, and some drone footage has captured them living inside this abandoned research station.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to do some research.
Yeah, they mostly look like they're just sort of leaning out the window and scratching their bum on things. From what
and
the
then secretly they're like, how to stop ice cap melting.
Yeah.
What was in the research? Like, what did they used to do in the research lab that they broke into?
Great question, because if I hear a story about, like, apex predators breaking into an abandoned Russian lab, that does get me a bit scared. It was a weather station, apparently. So actually, maybe you are right. I think they're researching how to stop climate change.
Heat-proof ice.
Then Baron Trump. Mm. Queenie, you got it right. He shut down an entire floor of Trump Tower so that he could go on a date. And apparently it wreaked havoc on the building because the residents couldn't get onto that floor, which is so unlike a member of the Trump family to put their needs before other people's. Mm. I'm really shocked.
Yeah, not great.
And then the final one, so Nick Tarades, a Canadian man, he shared a video on Instagram about how he broke into a flat because there was a cultural difference in the way that British people and North Americans people number floors.
The
Airbnb owner told him it was on the first floor to the right, so he went into what he thought was the correct door, and when it wouldn't open, the host said, just try harder, like try all the locks, jiggle the handle. He was doing this. Eventually, someone came out and he realised the first floor for us is above ground floor, but for him, the first floor is the ground floor.
So he was confused as to the meaning of the word ground, because that's on the ground.
Exactly.
I tried to argue this point to say that ground and first floor is better.
Yeah.
With Americans.
And?
I don't know if we're right, guys.
I think we're right, because ground wouldn't be underground, would it? It'd be ground.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. But like, if you took out ground and you just went first floor, second floor, like it's very simplified for American brains, I believe.
You think that's better because you can get your head around it.
It's a convincing argument to be like, let's keep it simpler. It's a bit like, you know, pounds or kilograms or.
Mm.
inches or centimetres. It's like, it probably is a little bit easier.
Hmm.
Do I have to get thrown out of the country now? Is that what happens? Is that...
No, no. I think it's the opposite. I think this was in the Reform Manifesto for their conferences.
Right,
so you're fine.
It was like the first thing they talked about for ages.
We are tackling really important issues here. I'm so
Big shit that Ian and Paul can't do. Because they're too qualified.
Thanks, Emerald. Queenie, which news item have you gone for this week?
I've only brought one, which I'm now, after an odd one out, as thorough as that, I'm feeling is not enough. So we'll see how long I'm talking for. So this is a law enforcement fuck-up roundup.
Oh.
I've got one from America and I've got one from the UK because I think we're the same amount of stupid.
I feel like we need the theme tune.
It's like the 60s Batman TV show theme tune.
Mm, with like kapow.
Blam.
Yeah.
So a Californian police officer tried to issue a ticket to a driverless car in San Francisco this week after it made an illegal U-turn.
Now, I'm going to say the police officer's not in the wrong there. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, if a car's done the illegal U-turn...
No, but so, the reason I picked this story is that the San Bruno Police Department posted a photo on their Twitter of the police officer, like, cocking his head where he can see that there's no one in there. And he's still trying to give him a ticket, which is why it's like, where do I put it? They said, and I quote, "They can't sanction a robot."
That's worrying. I don't like that. We I don't like that precedent.
There's a human attached to that at some level.
Yeah, responsible for it.
No, what's going to happen? Robots try to take over.
We can stop saying if at this point.
That sentence coming out of me because I'm a 12-year-old boy. But, like, how are we going to be able to stop them if we can't sanction them?
Yeah, surely. But this is a company owned by Google. It's the Waymo driverless cars.
Mm.
Waymo reassured us and said, in quotes, "Hopefully the reprogramming will keep it from making any more illegal moves." The keyword being hopefully.
Oh, that really reassures me.
Did they get fined? I imagine they must get fined as a company, right?
So
for doing that.
Last year, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law a bill that allows police officers to issue a notice of non-compliance if a driverless car breaks traffic laws, amid several incidents in the city, including driverless cars blocking traffic, dragging a pedestrian, interfering with fire trucks, and entering active crime scenes.
Interfering with fire trucks?
I think the crime scenes thing is cool. That's a new cop show.
Detective Waymo.
Yeah. But that law goes into effect in July 2026, which is super helpful.
Oh, so they better get all their illegal U-turns in.
These joyrides that all these cars are going to be going on.
9 months.
It's like the purge for them. This is like the year that they have to like get absolutely wild on the roads.
I've never liked that vending machine just smashing into the side of it.
But the last thing I'll say on this specific story is that Elon Musk did actually weigh in, because Waymo is the direct competitor of Tesla, by which I mean Waymo's way better, because they use about 40 external cameras and sensors per car, whereas Tesla use about 8.
Sheesh.
Musk is quoted to have said, "LiDAR is lame," which is like a type of radar. And in cars, it's friggin' stupid. It's expensive and unnecessary, because he obviously doesn't have enough money to keep people safe.
Queenie, I know what LiDAR is, but do you want to explain it to the audience? What actually is LiDAR?
Does Musk not like LiDAR because it's detecting all the untruths that he tells? Why doesn't he like it so much?
It's probably that. And it's a detection system which works on the principle of radar but uses light from a laser.
Yeah, I know what a LiDAR is. Obviously I know what LiDAR is.
I have one more police story from across the pond.
Oh.
Does anyone know what Detective Constable Niall Thubron of Durham Police did this week?
Did he try and arrest a bishop in the cathedral?
No, that sounds cool.
Well done for making it Durham specific, Jack.
God, that's, I had to go for it, didn't
you
I?
You really had to mine deep into like what happens in Durham.
Mine deep into my 4 years of being in that city, yeah.
Did you go to Durham?
Did they arrest someone in the Fighting Cocks? Fantastic pub.
All right, there we go.
Clute.
That's actually really nice. Clute, terrible place.
I don't know any of this.
Clute was the place that Dominic Cummings was the bouncer of.
His dad owned it, right? His uncle, I think. Oh, his uncle.
And then he was the bouncer.
I'm on a podcast with a bunch of nerds and I can't escape it.
Sorry, Queenie.
So this detective has been found guilty of gross misconduct after deceiving superiors into believing he was working on complex cases when he was actually just holding down a single key on his keyboard. The officer used key jamming, which I think is just a term that they've made up to make it sound more sort of official, like a crime.
Key jamming.
Key jamming while working from home, creating the appearance of constant activity. On one occasion, his laptop registered more than 16,000 keystrokes of the letter I in 90 minutes, which screams to me working hard.
No, that suggests to me someone very narcissistic. Maybe he's just writing about himself a lot. Just typing.
Am I being thick? Or is like that? Essentially, that's like the biggest analysis of someone literally just putting like a big stone on their keypad because yeah. It's just that are holding the eye down. Or does it? Is it like Queenie closing tabs on her?
before the podcast, I was having computer issues and
because she had 100 tabs open.
I was like, I've just got one or two tabs open, and it went. It was
went on for a long time.
It was like seeing a woodpecker really going. Key jamming, the other police officers have come up with that term to make it sound like they haven't been duped by this guy who just basically just had something on his keyboard for however long.
Another bit of this that I love is that he did this to create the illusion that he was typing continuously during his 2 days working home each week. Now, why the fuck would you want to portray like you were typing continuously? That's not what you'd normally do.
I literally walk in the office. And as soon as I'm sat down at my desk, my hands are attached to that keyboard and they're not coming off until 6 p.m. at night.
That's work, isn't it? That's a wild work.
Yeah.
Obviously, who among us hasn't?
Key jammed.
I'm key jamming
right now.
It's just an AI emerald.
I just keep saying I over and over again and you guys seem to be fine with it.
Someone do analysis. Emerald said 6,000 eyes in the last 15 minutes. Thanks, Queenie.
That's all right.
So this week, the story I've chosen is that criminals are smuggling a new item into the UK, and that item is woodlice.
Oh, no.
They're the hottest new commodity to be smuggled into the country.
Do we have a deficit of woodlice? Not that they can't still come in. But.
Great question. Yeah, I like that you're already setting up some kind of visa system for these woodlice. A one-in-one-out system from Emeralds. Yeah.
One-in-one-out system, yeah.
But yeah, so basically, they're like exotic woodlice. I'll give them their proper term, woodlice, is isopods.
Oh.
And according to The Sun, they've become the latest pet obsession.
That's not true.
Pet feels too strong a term.
Obsession feels, I think that's the strong word there.
So I've sent through the first one. This is the first
set are quite cool.
Of isopods.
Okay, for the listeners, it looks like a woodlouse.
They're like turtle shell woodlice.
Yeah,
and I'm
going
to send you another one here, which is a pretty spicy number, I'll be honest
that
with you.
Looks exactly like those salmon sushis where it's just a bit of salmon made over
rice. It looks like sashimi,
Yes, there we go.
It looks like stacked sashimi, doesn't it?
It's bright orange.
And they're very beautiful.
But it looks very small as well. It's like just in someone's hand.
So this thing, they're tiny. They're tiny, right?
What?
Guess how much that mad orange isopod I've just sent you, just one of them, guess how much that costs? Bear in mind it's like probably like half a centimetre long.
£200 each.
£100, because I reckon you're going to get a few of them, so that would like rack up.
So you've completely screwed me here, guys, because it's £50.
No.
In my opinion, that was a lot of money, but apparently, you guys, it's cheap as chips. You got money to burn, apparently.
It's very pretty.
£50 for a woodlouse. Mm-hmm. Legitimate sellers aren't happy because even for woodlice, you need to have a license to import them.
What?
A wood license, you could say.
Oh, very good.
Lovely stuff.
Very good.
It's the only reason I'm on this.
In The Sun's article, they said they are smuggled like drugs, which I just think, like, interesting cavity search when you find that.
Yuck.
Although they do say that wood lice like dark, damp environments, so they'd probably be fine.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yuck.
Both of you go, they've also got some quite fun nicknames for some of these. You get the rubber ducky ones, rubber ducky isopods.
Oh,
look at this guy.
It's adorable. It looks like there's a Japanese character called Gudetama and he's like a sad fried egg. And that's what he looks like.
It does look like
a little orange yolk of a head.
And I love eggs.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get some isopod fans out of here.
Yeah.
If I'm honest. So,
I mean, I would have paid 50 quid for a normal woodlouse. Look at my outgoings. It's already a mess.
According to The Sun, though, some people who used to sell cocaine are now switching to sell exotic woodlice because they make more money for less risk.
What I'm hearing is this is good for society and the economy because there's less drugs in circulation and more woodlice. and they're good for soil.
Oh.
I don't know if these guys, I think if you're paying 50 quid a pop for this wood lush, you're not just sticking it in the garden.
What else could you possibly be doing with
it? You've probably got like a tank or something for it, right?
Sure.
But on the subject of smuggling, what illegal items have North Korean citizens been told to keep an eye out for?
Ooh, sort of like pizza.
Mobile phones?
What, pizza because they're hungry?
Yeah, well, no, not because they're hungry, because it's like American
food. Oh, so you're sort of, you're on the right lines there. It is something that's like a westernised thing. They're on the
jeans.
Labubus. Oh, God.
Not Labubus. Thankfully, Mike's not here to have an aneurysm.
Taylor Swift's new album.
It's not. I'm gonna put you out of your misery. They have been told to look out for boob jobs.
Oh.
Which half the population are very happy to do.
Yeah, so they've been sort of ordered by their government to stare at people's tits.
Well,
that's a life.
They've been described as unsocialist and bourgeois.
Well, Zach Polanski would not agree.
Yeah. The New York Post reported that federal agents in civilian clothing were scanning for unnaturally buxom women.
No. Which so they literally are FBI female body inspectors.
Exactly. I was going to say, you're exactly right.
Jack's quoting the T-shirt he wears every day.
Genuinely, can you imagine that in North Korea? Like, no, I'm undercover. I am an undercover federal agent.
So. Where do I sign up?
The thing that reminded me of is last year, the chief foreign affairs commentator for the Financial Times, so serious dude, he genuinely tweeted this. He said, "A usually reliable source tells me that the North Korean soldiers who have deployed to Russia have never had unfettered access to the internet before. As a result, they are gorging on pornography."
Oh, wow.
Gorging is quite the word.
Yeah, he's really hammed that up with the gorging part, to be honest.
Wood lice and boob jobs.
That's my story.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's time for the missing words round now, where I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week and you just need to fill in the missing words. So, first up, Lancashire Village realised gas leak is what?
A new type of vegetable.
Oh, wait. I like that.
Because like a leek.
Lancashire Village realised gas leak is just how French cheese is meant to smell.
You're not far off with the vegetable, to be fair.
Oh,
really?
Because the answer is Lancashire Village realised gas leak is actually world's smelliest fruit.
Oh, durian.
Durian, yeah, exactly. Which I think we've talked about before, haven't we? Have we maybe?
At some point, durian the podcast, I think.
Nice. Nice. We'll take it. A gas engineer was dispatched to a town centre in Lancashire because people thought there was a gas leak, but it's actually just the smell of a durian fruit. Oh. They do have bans from like carrying it on like public transport and stuff in some places, don't they?
One time my mum put one in the boot of our car and then it smelled of it for like weeks afterwards.
Oh, no. Yeah. Did she do it on purpose?
She must have done. Maybe she just wanted us to feel even more sick. I don't know.
Someone in the next door charity shop had smelled a strong gassy smell, which is why you're always advised to wash the clothes that get donated. They had to double check for us.
Very good.
Next up, inmates at Wormwood Scrubs can sign up for what?
Inmates at Wormwood Scrubs can sign up for an extra tense series of The Traitors. Which I would watch.
Oh, man, definitely.
Tracer's Prison Edition would be crazy.
Right? It sounds like something a Mr. Beast is going to do. I don't like idea of
it
that being
out. Basically
Squid
Games, isn't it?
Yeah.
Inmates at Wormwood Scrubs can sign up for Pardon by American President.
Ooh.
They'd have to get like a tattoo of him or something on their back, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
He might consider it, possibly.
I was thinking, similarly, they could sign up for Conservative Party peerage, because you might as well like skip the faff of the whole trial and just go straight in.
Yeah. And the answer is inmates at Wormwood Scrubs can sign up for a class on how to make sushi.
Oh.
So this is actually quite good scheme, to be honest. It's like Fred from First Dates. He teaches inmates cooking skills It's called The Escape Kitchen, which is a bit of fun. I did a bit of research and I found there was a YouTuber who turned a Big Mac into sushi.
Very good, Queenie.
Since been sent to jail for that monstrosity. So there was genuinely, I found a video of a guy turning a Big Mac into a sushi.
What does that mean?
I think it was called Does It Sushi? And they try to see if it's sushi. Which...
it's the most brain rot thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, big time.
Is it cake? Does it sushi?
Next up, train delays to be reduced by what?
Getting rid of trains altogether.
It would work.
It is very monster raving loony party of you, Queenie.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if I have an answer, but I'm just wondering if all my angry emails have finally made a difference.
Yeah, by Emerald Paston's persistent passag emails. The answer is train delays to be reduced by treating tracks with dry ice.
So it's going to be really spooky.
Like one of those cool cocktails.
It's just going to be like a ghost train at a fun fair.
That does sound fun.
No, I mean, the reason is because it's a way to solve the wet leaves on the line. Which, a person in this article I read was like, it's actually a very serious matter because what they're doing is they're trialing dry ice to freeze the leaves, which helps to like clear them. Yeah, yeah. Because at the moment, what they've got to do is they've got to like go with these trains that fire a jet wash.
Wow.
And they're like, make it slippy.
The fact that our entire infrastructure can be just completely decimated by a leaf. It's crazy.
Oh, wet leaves.
Let's just dry ice all our problems away.
Yeah, that should be the solution to most things. Just make that the manifesto of any party. Dry ice.
Dry ice it.
Obviously, we still have to use these trains, and they had to come up with a name for one of these trains recently. And obviously, it was left to the public to name one of these leaf-clearing trains.
Is it?
Do you want to know what the shortlist was for names?
Leafy McLeafface.
Surely that was on there.
It might have been on the shortlist, but it wasn't included in the highlights that I picked out.
Oh, okay. I see.
We had Leaf Fall Weapon.
Oh, cool.
Pulp Friction.
Oh!
Is there friction involved?
It's a lack of friction, if anything.
Oh. So it should be pulp lack of friction.
Send an email to somebody, Queenie. The Autumn Avenger, but the winner.
Oh,
it's actually quite good. No. The winner was Control Alt Delete.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty
that
good.
That is good.
Hats off to you. Reform have promised that if they get into power, they'll fix trains by not only getting rid of leaves on the line, but also banishing snowflakes. So
very good.
Next, Labour conference attendees what before Keir Starmer's speech?
Labour conference attendees get tucked into their blankies before Keir Starmer's speech.
I had Labour conference attendees are disappointed the rapture didn't happen before Keir Starmer's speech. Remember how that was meant to happen?
Labour conference attendees agree to drink every time he says reform before Keir Starmer's speech.
Battered.
They got leathered. Yeah. Absolutely leathered.
The only one I was waiting for a Labour conference attendees question their life choices before Keir Starmer's speech.
Yeah.
That's not the answer. That's what I was...
I really thought that could have been a headline.
The answer is Labour conference attendees given stress balls before Keir Starmer's speech.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's old school. Looking after people's mental health, isn't it?
Not the greatest sign to people giving out stress balls before your big speech, really.
But needed, so that's good.
No such problem for the Lib Dems, though, because it's impossible to get stressed when your leader is delivering their conference speech from a bouncy castle.
He's just orbing.
Yeah, yeah.
He is the stress ball.
Yeah. Just go and give him a squeeze.
Yeah.
And finally, heating engineer emulates former North Korean leader by what?
By blocking international inspectors from verifying the regime's adherence to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Classic heating engineer.
That does sound like something heating engineer would do.
They're always doing
classic
that.
Classic Kim Jong-il.
Heating engineer emulates former North Korean leader by making thousands of women cry.
Heating engineer emulates former North Korean leader by fixing a gas leak in Lancashire.
Yeah, I was going to say getting Corgi certified.
Yeah, very good.
Heating engineer emulates former North Korean leader by putting up posters of himself all around his... No, that's not true either. Heating engineer emulates former North Korean leader by getting two holes in one during the same round.
Oh.
He was playing golf with him.
No.
There are all these myths about his golf skills, aren't there?
We have to stick in an allegedly for the Kim Jong-il.
His alleged golf skills.
Okay. His alleged golf skills. Although it does come from his official biography, but
I'll get the heating engineer or Kim.
Yeah. The heating engineer's biography has some wild claims in there. He said he sorted this boiler out in like 20 minutes and it was definitely 2 hours, which is.
And then two rainbows appeared from it as well.
But this is Gavin Bourne, and he won his club championship by getting a hole in one on the third and 15th hole. And the odds of getting that is 67 million to one, which is.
Wow.
I wonder what the population of North Korea is. Because the one is Kim Jong-il.
You're so right.
That is how statistics work. That's how probability works. Mm. If it's one in 67 million, that means that it one will. Person in 67 million can do that thing.
And it's always the dictator.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's why they become a dictator. They did a golf competition and he won.
Well, it worked for America, didn't it?
I have to add an allegedly, obviously, because it wasn't verified, but his official biography claimed on one round of Pyongyang's 18-hole golf course, he achieved 11 hole-in-ones.
Fuck off. Wow. That's so funny.
Which is so good.
That's very impressive.
That's it. That's the end of Missing Words Round.
That was really good. Thanks, Jack.
Keep an eye out on our social media channels for the Missing Word competition next week for your chance to get a shout-out on the show. Thank you for listening to In The News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now. And we'll see you here for next week's episode. I'm going to go gorge myself now.
On some food, guys.
On some food, thank you.
I'm surprised you didn't do it during the podcast, but you normally do.
Please don't ever do that on the podcast.
Eat
on the podcast, you dirty guys.
In The News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In The News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.